Rise and shine, console war veterans and civilian noobs, to the 29th episode of the Green vs. Blue podcast. This week's topic, a conference of gamers. We are your hosts, SD Dog and
PlayStation Pat Fennel.
Green vs. Blue is a podcast where we, your hosts, discuss the two best gaming platforms, Xbox and PlayStation. Green vs. Blue can be found on Spotify, Apple, or your favorite podcast streaming service. You can also support us directly at patreon.com/greenversusblue. That's patreon.com/greenvsblue. And a big shout out to our existing Patreons. We really appreciate you guys. If you have a burning question or comment about today's show, reach us directly at psboxcast@gmail.com. That's psboxcast@gmail.com. And you can find us directly on the internet at...
You can find me on Twitch and YouTube at VarietyPat. That's VarioTyPat, or on Instagram at PlayStationPat. Dave, what about you?
Yep, hit me up on YouTube or hit me up on Xbox at SDDog. That's spelled SDDAWG.
All right. So our first segment every week is our Retroscope segment, where we make corrections and, if necessary, follow up on any interesting news from prior weeks. And today, I just wanted to give everybody a heads up. Last week, my PlayStation Pat's PlayStation pick of the week during games this week was The Sinking City. And in fact, The Sinking City is, just a heads up, having some issues, particularly on Steam. And I guess the developer is having some disputes with their publisher. The game has been delisted and relisted a couple times on Steam. Hopefully this could mean that the game will be delisted from the PlayStation Network sooner than later. Just a heads up, that happens with games every once in a while when there are licensing issues. And yeah. And second off, we just wanted to notify all of our listeners that the Green vs. Blue podcast will be taking a short hiatus after next week, episode 30, and we will be back. More info to come.
Yeah, we'll call this, you know, swath of episodes from, since we've started in August, we'll call it season one, and we'll come back stronger than ever in season two.
Heck yeah.
All right, Pat, let's move into games this week. What you been playing?
Dave, been back on a little more Pokemon Shield. Back again.
No sword? You just got the shield, not the sword?
I do have the sword, but I haven't broken out the sword yet. Gotta strengthen up my defenses, one might say, for stuff. But
nice.
Having some fun with that. Again, not too much PlayStation this week, but... glad I had some time to play some games this week in general. Did you get any time to play anything this week, Dave?
Yeah, I did. Hold on, I just want to ask you a question. I don't think I've ever asked you. What is your favorite Pokemon?
I think I might have to go with Gen 4 starter Piplup and the evolution to
That's a good evolution.
That was my... that was the starter I spent the most time with. Besides that, though, I might have to go with one of the Hitmonchan or Hitmontop in particular. I'm a big fan of. That was the first Gen 2 holo card I ever pulled back when I was probably 5-6 years old at the 6 years old at the max.
Mm-hmm. So. I was just wondering.
What about you? Do you have a favorite?
I think my favorite is probably from Gen 2, like the Cyndaquil evolution.
Okay.
I love Cyndaquil, Quilava, Typhlosion. I love all those so much. And then more recently, I really like Chandelure. Like the shiny version is like so sick. I don't know. I really got into like ghost types around like X and Y versions. I think the ghost types are really cool. But
oh yeah, I forgot you got mad into those.
I got super into them, and then I kind of dropped out, but we'll talk more about Pokemon as it comes in the news.
Cool, man.
But yeah, I've just been playing some Halo 5, of course. I actually been really, really just like powering through. And I'll give an update next week about how I'm doing on the max rank, on my max rank journey. I think I'm gonna hit max rank sooner than I expected. So I'll be having Sweet. A drink sooner than I expected.
Ooh.
Do you want to go first for that for PlayStation games, or do you want me to go first for
sure.
Xbox?
Sure, Dave, because I got a little loophole for these kids, for our listeners. Secret I just found on the PlayStation Store just last night, in fact, as I was looking up the best new PlayStation games to come out this week. And Dave, so as I mentioned a long time ago, PlayStation has sort of secluded and is sort of quarantining the PlayStation 3 and PlayStation Vita games in terms that you can't buy any games for those consoles on those consoles. You have to buy them through the webpage. Mm-hmm. And I've been complaining for a while that there is no curation on the PlayStation Store online now, which is true. But here's the loophole, Dave. And this is for our listeners out there that may be fans of the old PSN store before it was updated in, what was that, October or November of 2020. If you go to Google and look up PlayStation 3 games or PlayStation Vita games, it brings up an old version of the PlayStation Store. And it doesn't like fully update, but it does have all of the PlayStation 4 games on there and the newly released PlayStation 4 games. And it has all those curated sections and options to be like, hey, I want to see what new games came out this week, February 25th, or whatever. And it gives you those choices. So, hey, if you're trying to find a game and you can't find it on the PlayStation Store, go through the back end, go through Google, look up PlayStation 3 games, and you will find that original grid store.
Nice.
It's a nightmare, but it's better than no option.
Yeah. Yeah, check out PlayStation Pat's advice. He knows all the back alleys. You know, he knows the black market on the PlayStation.
I wish. Cool.
Well, cool. That's cool. Yeah, well, what do we got for games?
New games? All right. So first off, we got a 3D platformer called Pumpkin Jack, and that looks a lot like the beloved PlayStation 1 game Medieval, mixed with a little bit of Nightmare Before Christmas. I won't be surprised if Pumpkin Jack gets the hammer one day for infringement on Nightmare Before Christmas. Mm. I mean, the main character, Pumpkin Jack, he looks exactly like Jack Skellington with the pumpkin head on at the beginning
of the Googling movie. I'm Googling it right now just to see. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I definitely get those vibes.
All right, moving on. We got re-releases of the 1997 dinosaur games, Turok 1 and 2.
Wow, blast from the past.
Worth checking out. Yeah, baby. And then I know this will be much beloved by some of the kids out there. We got a Steven Universe Unleash the Light. Worth checking out. Another cute little platformer. Moving on, we got Fallen Legion Revenants. And this was a sort of turn-based RPG. It's got a little bit of different mechanic. Might be checking out if you're itching for one of those. And then we got the hottest sport in the United States, NASCAR Heat 5, coming your way on PlayStation. And Dave, can you ring this one in for me?
Sure. So here it comes, everyone. Here is
PlayStation Pets PlayStation Pick of the Week.
Dang, that one sounded like I put the filter on without even the filter, dude. We got this week, Dave, a much beloved game, but a spiritual successor. We got Taxi Chaos. And if you're like, hey, Taxi Chaos sounds a lot like Crazy Taxi, that's because it might as well be Crazy Taxi. And people love Crazy Taxi. So check out Taxi Chaos. It's only $20 this week. So head over there, jump on the PSN, jump on your PS5, PS4, check out Taxi Chaos. Dave, what's going on in Xbox land?
So we have a couple things here. I just want to mention one game that I actually forgot to put on here. It's called Stubbs the Zombie. Have you heard of it, Pat?
I've heard the name, but go ahead and give me some insight into why I should actually care.
Apparently, this is some sort of obscure title that came on the original Xbox. And it's a game where you basically play as a zombie in like the 1950s. And you just kill people. Kind of, it reminds me in the same vein of like Destroy All Humans.
Okay.
So, anyways, they're doing like some sort of remaster or port for all platforms, and it's coming on March 16th, I think. But the interesting thing about it, from what I learned, is that it's the only game to use the same engine from the original Halo in that game. So, just by that alone, I'll probably be checking it out in a couple weeks.
The only other game ever?
It's the only game to use the same engine as the original Halo. So I'm just interested to see how the game plays and what it feels like and stuff. But
that's
very obscure.
Yeah, that'd be cool checking out. So is that free with your games for gold?
I think it's just coming out.
Okay.
So I think it's like $20 or something. So I might check it out. Anyways, we got on games with gold for March. So these are just games you can download, own for free, get some free gamer score, save some money. So you can hit up Warface Breakout. That's available March 1st through the 31st. And just a quick bit about that game. I'm just going to read from the actual Xbox website because I kind of don't know any of these games except for like Metal Slug. So tight gameplay and strategic team cooperation to find this tactical online first-person shooter. Make split-second decisions, use a vast arsenal of weapons, and master the high-stakes PvP experience to become the ultimate mercenary of tomorrow. And it goes on. But yeah, that's pretty much what that is. And then we also have Vicious Attack Llama Apocalypse. And
why?
Never heard of this game. Yeah, I've literally never heard of this game. Okay, March 16th to April 15th, you can go grab that one. And that one says, it is a top-down couch co-op, twin-stick shooter. Remotely pilot an endless supply of mechs to fight through the vast llama horde apocalypse. Okay, that actually sounds pretty fun.
It sounds goofy, but like, and maybe it is fun, but do you think we're ever going to get past this like, oh, we're totally random and ironic.
like 2010 era internet.
Yeah.
Goat simulator. Like, I can play as a goat.
Nyan cat apocalypse. Like, come on.
I'm going to only enjoy this game if it's extremely gory. Like you just rip llamas apart with your mech and there's just blood everywhere, guts. Like if it's anything short than that, then yeah, Pat, I'm going to side with you there.
If it's anything short of an M rating, I'm out.
Yeah. If I was the developer, I'd be like, there's no way this game is not going to be like M rated, almost adult rated. So
we need to be given, we'll budget specifically for an adult rating and then we'll roll back and specifically try to get an M or an A rating and then an M rating. For the news,
so, yeah,
for the controversy.
So hopefully, Vicious
that
Attack
would be the way.
Hopefully, Vicious Attack Llama Apocalypse isn't an epic fail. All right, so then we got Metal Slug 3. That is coming to
not an epic fail.
Not an epic fail. Pretty dope game. March 1st to the 15th. And if you don't know, those are like the run and gun, side scroller, you know, slice and dice, fun games. I'm going to go check that one out. And then we have Port Royale 3 coming to Games with Gold March 16th to the 31st. And that one, from my knowledge, is... Okay, I'm just going to read it here. It's the turbulent 17th century, and you are a young sea captain whose only goal is to be the most powerful man in the new world. To achieve your goal, either choose to be a trader, developing trade routes to earn fortune, glory, and power, or become an adventurer, plundering, invading, and leading your ships in beautiful 3D naval battles. Okay, so you're pretty much like Christopher Columbus, the game. I don't know how I feel about that one, Pat.
Somebody's going to enjoy it. Someone who really enjoyed Assassin's Creed Black Flag.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Cool. And then, yeah, that's all I got for this week. I'll probably mention some new Game Pass games next week. And if you want to check out any Game Pass games that have come out recently, just go check out our last episode.
Cool. Thanks, Dave.
Cool. We have anything just else, Pat?
Yeah, last but not least, we got March's PlayStation Plus announcements, and it's a decent lineup this month. First off, we got Final Fantasy VII Remake. That one's worth checking out. Good story. A lot of the criticism, and I have to agree, is that there's not much gameplay in the game. I do agree with that. It's very much a cinematic piece coming from Square Enix, but hey, still worth picking up, and it's going to be free next month. Next up, we got Maquette, I think. Maquette. And Remnant from the Ashes. But last but not least, free on PlayStation Plus in March, we got Farpoint VR. Sweet VR title. Always good to see PlayStation supporting the VR community. And I think Farpoint is really a must-play for anyone with VR. And it's free. So let's go.
Cool.
But that's going to do it.
All right. That rounds out games this week. Let's move on to our cross-examination segment. Everyone, this is a, you know, listeners old and new, this is a segment where we take big relevant news about Xbox and PlayStation when they happen to intersect with each other in the gaming world. We then debate, speculate, and create a discussion of our own, which fosters good discourse. So yeah, Pat, there was the State of Play that was a few days ago from recording this, and I watched it. I watched the whole thing, and I'm sure you watched it.
And I mean, a lot of game conferences are really dragged out, but this one was easy to watch the whole thing.
Yeah,
coming in less than 30 minutes.
Yeah, so then that's pretty much like the bulk of the news this week. So I figured we'd just put it in our meatier segment, just kind of talk about new games that are coming out for PlayStation. And then kind of just talk about maybe like, you know, game conferences or presentations in general. Because I know Xbox, the last one Xbox did was back in July, had some big announcements, big gameplay showings. But I don't know. I mean, I feel like people get a little too invested with what they're to expect out of these types of presentations. Like I watch a lot of the live streams, a lot of YouTubers I follow, like live streams, and a lot of their followers are like, "Oh my gosh, they're gonna announce, you know, the God of War 2. They're gonna show some stuff for God of War 2. They're gonna show some stuff, you know, for what are the other games coming out right now for PlayStation? I don't know." But they're like, yeah, we're going to see like all this crazy stuff. And it's like, nah, this is just like something in the winter to kind of hold people over till usually like the big E3 announcements around summer.
I think in years past, like we have gotten some really, really solid gaming news out of the State of Play conference. But I mean, as we've seen just through the whole, you and I have discussed, Dave, through this entire generation console launch, is everything's just sort of underwhelming. Mm-hmm. And that extended into this State of Play. And I personally think this was hands down the the weakest showing that we've seen in years.
Yeah.
Out of Sony. And it's probably more a result of game delays from 2020.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. The industry is not really running on all cylinders like how it usually is. And I think that's kind of, I mean, we saw that with Nintendo Direct too. I also watched that, and that was super underwhelming too. And maybe, but they, to be fair, Nintendo, they definitely set the expectations. They said, hey, this is just going to be, this is not going to be anything big. But I think that the industry is kind of at fault for, you know, setting those expectations. We have what they showed with Anthem a few years ago, like showing off this huge cinematic, you know, opening that kind of blurred the lines between like cinematic and gameplay. So people thought that what they were seeing was in game, and then like, oh no, that wasn't in game. So like, I understand why people are very, very much expecting like a ton out of these, but I don't know. I feel like we're kind of to blame too.
A little, the community, the conference of gamers, conference, you might say.
Yeah. Like a group of gamers, you know, how like a group of crows is called a murder.
Or a gaggle of geese.
A gaggle of geese.
What else? What else is there? Pride of lions.
A pride of lions. We have what's a group of frogs?
A conference of gamers.
A conference of gamers. So yeah. So I guess we could just break down like my reactions to the PlayStation State of Play, because I have some thoughts, and I feel like we don't really get to do this where we kind of switch our roles, you know, where I'm talking about PlayStation and, or you're talking about Xbox. So
I want to run through the whole show, like, beat for beat.
Okay, like, in order?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, you know, as I was watching it, I was a little bit excited, and then I was taking notes for even this conversation, and as I was taking the notes, as I was finished writing some of the sentences, I'd be like, that is really an unimportant, like, non-announcement. And we'll get to that, what I mean here in a minute. So the show starts out with a Crash 4 quote-unquote feature rundown. And this was sort of the first bad sign for me, Dave. I don't know if you have anything to say about Crash 4. This quote-unquote feature rundown, it was really just like, oh, there's static special feedback in the controller, and there's these demo cards that can help you find your way through the story, like, and then we got 4K and 60 frames a second. When will saying 4K 60 frames like not just become the expectation? Because right now, like, For this new console generation, I feel like it should be the expectation, and these companies have presented it as the standard. But when we see these new game announcements, it's 60 4K, 60 FPS 4K is still treated as this like, oh, we did this, we the developers did this hurdle for you because look at how good we made it.
Yeah. I would appreciate if all games could be at
I don't know, your thoughts?
60 frames per second at 1080p first. That'd be nice. But yeah, I don't know. This the thing with Crash Bandicoot, yeah, I watched recently a YouTube video from Jim Sterling, and they said that, you know, like these things could be consolidated in an email if you really think about it. The whole thing with like the haptic feedback stuff that they mentioned for like Oddworld, we'll get to that obviously, and then Crash Bandicoot. That for me, that's not like, oh, I'm gonna go out and buy a PlayStation 5 now. Like if I was hearing about people like raving about the haptic feedback since launch, I'd be like, okay, I gotta check this out. But here, it's only here and there I hear people praising it. You know, it's seems to me it's more of like a thing to kind of just sweeten the pot for like next gen, you know. It's not something that's like, okay, this is next gen, the haptic feedback stuff. Sure, that's great. I mean, that's a cool feature. 4K 60, of course. I don't know if I wouldn't have opened with that with the for the cons- with the with the conference or whatever.
No, it was really, I would agree, it was underwhelming.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go check out, you know, Crash 4. Maybe if this was the launch of Crash 4, maybe if they were about to launch with it, I'd be like, okay, I do want to see more of this game, but it's been out, you know.
Yeah.
So.
So next up was Returnal. That was the, after the underwhelming Crash 4 opening, we got Returnal.
I know, they should have opened with that. That was actually really cool. They showed some more gameplay, right?
Yeah, we saw a lot of gameplay for the first time, and we saw the sort of rebirth mechanic for the first time as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the load time, I gotta be honest, there was a little bit of cinematic graphic as an interstitial between the death and the rebirth of the character in Returnal. So that buffed out the load time, and it was still wicked fast, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely, like, I'd say definitely one of the top three games from this presentation that I'm really hyped about.
I think it's number one for me.
Okay.
Number one for me. But we've spoken on Returnal many times. What would you call it? Rogue-like third-person shooter. And third-person sci-fi space shooter.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, Returnal, I think. Piqued your interest a little more?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm really... Anything sci-fi, dude, I'm like, I'm in.
Yeah. Cool. Good stuff. Let's keep it rolling. Speaking of rolling balls, dodgeball, game, Knockout City. I'd say the first... I don't know, man. Just the whole thing was kind of underwhelming.
Yeah, this is the first I've heard about it, and this seems like, okay, I understand why. This is probably the first I've heard about this game. The mechanics look... I don't know if they look good or not. Can't tell if they're like, if it's just like you throw the ball at someone and then it like has this auto like follow thing, and then I don't know how fun that could be. The gameplay reminded me a lot of like Bleeding Edge, a game I've not praised on this show. So hopefully it's not like that.
I got some like arena, of course, Fortnite vibes. I think Knockout City could be really popular with the younger crowd and the same crowd that would enjoy the Splatoon games on Nintendo. After that, Dave, I think came the only game that was newly revealed to my knowledge, Sifu. That's Sifu, a Kung Fu PS5 game.
Yeah, to be honest, I could tune out at this part. And that wasn't because of the game. I just was like doing something. But I saw a little bit of it. I'll have to just check out more of it when it comes out. But I mean, it's a fighting game. I might check it out.
If you're a fan of Kung Fu games, I think Sifu is right up your alley. Looks really good. It's one of like only a handful of PS5 exclusives, and the only original game, or the only newly announced game that we saw during this conference.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dave, the next one I know you're excited for, we got Solar Ash.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited for this one. The people who made Hyperlight Drifter, and that game was pretty awesome and unique. They're making I think it's like a 3D platformer or something. Anyways, it looks beautiful. It looks amazing. I just want to see a lot more. And that almost stole the show for me, Pat. It was almost
really.
I was like, oh yeah, this game definitely got me hyped.
Is Hyperlight Drifter that good?
I really liked it. It's really hard, so I didn't finish it. But the game is beautiful. Yeah, it's like it's a cool homage to that, you know, that 16-bit era.
Okay. Sure. Well. Solar Ash looked interesting, looks kind of fun, but I'm not losing... I won't lose any sleep over it, that's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, moving on after that, another game that we've seen before, Kena: Bridge of Spirits. And oh, I'm getting way ahead of myself. Whoa, dude.
Whoa!
I'm reading from your list. I'm getting way ahead of myself.
Five Nights at Freddy's.
Five Nights at Freddy's security breach. Another kids game. I feel like this conference leaned a lot more towards the younger PlayStation audience, and it did make me feel a little bit old. Like maybe these Last of Us 2 type games and God of Wars are kind of for an adult crowd, and PlayStation is going to have to find a balance. And I think they did find a decent balance in their state of play this past week with showing more attention to games for a younger crowd. Hence, Five Nights at Freddy's security breach. After that, a more adult game, Oddworld Soulstorm.
Soulstorm.
Why do you like the Oddworld games so much? I'm going to have to jump into...
It's not that I'm like super crazy about them. I just remember playing one of them like back in the Xbox days. I don't think it was an Xbox.
Like a nostalgic.
Yeah, it was like kind of nostalgic. It was like one of the first games I played on the original Xbox, and I think it was on PS2 as well, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, those games, I just from what I remember, they were fun. So I might just check it out for old time's sake.
I get the feeling that Oddworld is sort of like this very hidden gem of video gaming. Like there's Oddworld games on PlayStation Vita as well.
Really?
And they're not like the highest ranked, but once you get past the like top 20 Vita games ever, Oddworld, there's more than one Oddworld game, I think, that starts making that like top 50 list.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then this one was cool. They showed a little bit more, and then, but they mentioned like, again, the haptic feedback stuff. Like, oh, you can hear the main character's heartbeat. You can feel it in your controller. I was like, I mean, that's been done before though. Like done in like Call of Duty. Like I feel like, or something, Halo or something, where you like, you're walking up to an enemy and like you feel your heart beating before before you kill the enemy or something. I don't know.
I see, that exactly speaks to like they're just it. Oh, if we just say that it uses the PlayStation 5 controller in this different voice inflection, then it we can say it. Like
I don't mind it. I mean, but I feel like that shouldn't. It should just go without being said. You know, like
thank you. Anyways, the best part about Oddworld Soulstorm is that it's going to be free on PlayStation Plus on April 6th it releases.
Cool. So,
next up, we got Kena: Bridge of Spirits. There we go.
Oh, yeah.
Dave, what were your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, this one, the first time I saw it when PlayStation debuted it, I was like, okay, I'm really interested. And then they showed a lot more. And I'm glad that they showed more because it made me really, really hyped for it. It feels like there's a lot of darker elements to the game, which I did not expect. I thought it was going to be this like kind of like cutesy, whatever, adventure, you know.
It might do a nice balance of striking that lightheartedness and the darkness of the golden era Disney films from the 90s.
Yeah, whatever this game is, I'm here for it. It's gorgeous, and the world just seems really compelling. So, yeah, absolutely hyped for that game. It might be a system seller for me at some point down the road.
Yeah, Kena, it looked good the first time we saw it. It looks even more polished now. And I think it's going to be a good game for a game that could pull in both young audiences and old audiences. I think it was at this point in the show that I was like, oh, this show's really directed at like a 12-year-old audience. Is sort of like the perfect viewer. But hey, Kena: Bridge of Spirits, we got a date on it finally, August 24th, coming this year, 2021.
Awesome.
Next up, Dave, we saw Deathloop yet again. thoughts?
Still unsure about what it is. Still unsure about what this game is, kind of. From what I can pin down, this game is a mix between... This game is essentially like James Bond mixed with like Edge of Tomorrow, Groundhog Day, mixed with like Advanced Warfare, like movement and like grapple hook stuff.
I think that's like the perfect, yeah.
Like the aesthetic is spy movie. The mechanics look like Advanced Warfare from Call of Duty, and the other, you know, the gameplay mechanics look like Edge of Tomorrow.
Did you know there was like three movies in 2020 that were all like versions of the Groundhog Day sort of?
It's just getting so tired, that whole idea.
There, the best one was, I'm not even gonna give it away. I don't even want to say the movie title because the movie you go in not knowing that it's a time loop movie, but it's the best one.
Okay. Yeah, I just recently rewatched Edge of Tomorrow, and I really enjoyed that movie.
Exceptional. Exceptional.
But anywho, yeah, I don't know. Deathloop is still a very wait and see for me. I'm still on the fence. Like, I'm still on the fence from when we originally talked about it.
Yeah, I'm kind of where I was last time. In spirit of trying to be a glass half full kind of guy, I'm hoping that Deathloop hasn't like presented itself well because the time mechanic is part of the story and will probably be a non-issue once the game's out. So this conversation will kind of seem non-important. But I'm certainly still unsure about Deathloop, but trying to be glass half full, I think, and fingers crossed, I think Deathloop might be that sort of game that we get every year where it's like, it's not the best, most polished game, but it's the most fun Metacritic 7.5 game that we get for the whole year.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
Yeah. So, fingers crossed for Deathloop. We'll see what happens. But it's going to be out May 21st.
Mm-hmm.
So keep an eye out. Last but not least, we got the announcement, a confusing announcement, one might say, of Final Fantasy VII Remake Intergrade. And this is, they, again, speaking to, like, they're telling us basic info, a big banner on the screen says you get a free PS5 upgrade if you get the Final Fantasy VII Remake on PS4. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of excited for that, but it's like, wait, it's the upgrade's sort of like built in. You can up-res it, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I like the fact that they'll let you upgrade the whole game. What caught me at the end, off guard at the end, was that the new episode, you have to buy a PS5 in order to get that.
Yeah, the new episode's going to be on PS5 only.
Like, that's, I don't know, that's kind of whack, if you ask me. If it's coming out soon, I mean, people literally can't buy PS5s right now. So, I don't know, that was just weird to me that they would do that, knowing that not a lot of people can get a PS5 right now, and to lock something on a console that no one can really get for the next few months. I don't know, it was really weird, and then that was just a very bizarre way to end the whole presentation on that note.
Well, I think they just confused it even more, because I'm still unclear. First off, Final Fantasy VII Remake is supposed to be like a 3-4 part remake of the original Final Fantasy VII,
mm-hmm.
but is Intergrade part 2? Is it a DLC for part 1? Mm-hmm. Is this new? They announced that there's a new episode featuring Yuffie that's going to cost money, even if you own Final Fantasy VII Remake. Does that make it a DLC?
It sounds like a DLC, but yeah, they didn't specify what it was.
I was really excited when this trailer first came on, thinking, this is part 2. It's coming sooner than later. Like, this is going to be great. But I'm still not sure, like, what this adds whatsoever to Final Fantasy VII. Or is it just another chapter and I'm going to have to, like, replay 30 hours just to get to a 2-hour chapter? No.
Yeah. I don't know. That's just a weird way to end it. But I think if you were to just cut out the beginning and the end of that presentation, you would have had a really strong conference.
It would have been a lot stronger if we hadn't seen most of these games for the third time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, those were kind of just, I don't know. That was my reaction to it. And I'm still excited for what PS5 is going to have to offer. And I think that's it. I don't think there's any but there. It's just that's what I kind of think about it.
I thought it was a pretty decent conference. I thought it was nice that it focused more on games for children. And overall, I mean, given the circumstances, I'm like, straight out, it was a weak show, but given the circumstances, I think it was, they did the best they could, and
stuff I would to assume
look forward to.
Yeah, I would assume, you know, these companies are saving their big guns for the summer. I would assume Xbox is going to have something big in July. I would hope, and you know, they have something cool, Halo Infinite, to show off. Hopefully they show off some more of their games that they announced last July for, like, Hellblade. Hopefully they show something. Hopefully they show something from Perfect Dark or Fable, like something. So I'm hoping that Xbox will kind of step up to the plate now and kind of challenge, you know, what Sony has been kind of putting out here or there.
I can't wait for more Fable footage.
Yeah, I think this summer is going to be great for game announcements.
Touché.
As compared to last year.
We'll look forward to it.
Cool. All right, well, let's move into Fast Fire News, Pat, if we're all done here.
I think so.
All right, so for listeners old and new, Fast Fire News is our weekly news segment where we deliver the week's headlines to you faster than the production of Indiana Jones 5. That's for dang sure. That will star Harrison Ford, a very, very aged Harrison Ford, reprising his role.
Are you saying that the production of the film is going to be slow because an 80-year-old Harrison Ford is inherently slower than a 40-year-old Harrison Ford?
Yeah. Hold on, sorry. Music started playing in my headphones. If you were to come out with this movie 5 years ago, you'd still have a really old Harrison Ford. But I just hope it doesn't ever, this movie doesn't get canceled. I don't care if it's delayed a year or two. I just want to see like a 90-year-old Harrison Ford like beat up people.
Dave, have you seen that video from Liam Neeson in Taken 2 or 3, where he's jumping the chain link fence?
No.
People, go look it up on YouTube. So Liam Neeson is like above 70 years old, and he has to hop a chain link fence for the movie. And, I mean, he's an old guy. What are you going to do? Well, the filmmakers, literally the camera cuts like 7 times as he's jumping the fence so that he could do it very slowly. And they make it look fast.
That's dope.
Egregious.
Hopefully we put some Hollywood magic in the new Indiana Jones. But anyways, let's get to the news, guys. Big bit of news, kind of a follow-up, actually, to our discussion about chip shortages. So the Biden administration is looking into the Xbox Series X and PS5 shortage crisis, as Tech Radar relays. And I quote, "The recently elected Commander-in-Chief is expected to sign an executive order starting an investigation into solving the root issues," unquote. So yeah, basically computer chips are, you know, kind of one of the things among other big shortages that have to do with national security, apparently. And I guess we kind of just got lumped into the list of things that are important right now.
How many senators' children must go cold and broken without PlayStation 5s and Xboxes?
I know. I feel like just enough politicians
and the president reacts.
Yeah, I feel like enough politicians' kids at home were just like, "Daddy, I can't play the new PS5. And they're like, "I'm tired of hearing about it." So they just go up to old Joe and, you know, have a few words with him. But yeah, it seems like the Xbox Series X and PS5 shortage crisis is going to be resolved.
Swiftly dealt with by the federal government.
Yeah. If we can get some consoles by the end of the year, I'll be a happy camper. and in other news, for all our Xbox people out there, big news for Halo Infinite. Since the July reveal, this is probably the biggest news since then, we got some new screenshots of the game. They emerged from the blog on Halo Waypoint. And yeah, there's just some big improvements graphically, lighting-wise. It seems like they completely listened to feedback. And it said, you know, work in progress. They're still working on it. So they have another 9 months to go, 8 months to go. But yeah, they kind of showed off a bit of the day and night cycle that will be implemented. And they kind of reiterated in the blog that the game is not going to be open world, but they said it's going to be the biggest Halo game. It's going to be essentially kind of like, they're going to say that the out of bounds boundaries are going to be really hard to find. And they said there's a little Easter egg if you can find it. I'm happy that's what I wanted to hear. Something that kind of is reminiscent. They said this is a spiritual reboot to kind of like the first Halo. Since it's the 20th year anniversary this year, they said this is going to be something that, this is the game that we wish we could have made back then. And if it's anything like Combat Evolved, you have that spirit of exploration, but they just expand on that and make it into a whole game, then that's all I want. So.
Well, I'm going to look forward to it, and I implore any of our listeners to go check out the new Halo Infinite screenshots, because I was really impressed with the ones we got back in July, and they seem to outdo themselves again here in February.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of the criticisms were just kind of in the lighting, which made the graphics look terrible, and they were gonna come out the game pretty much in that state, and I think that was gonna ultimately hurt the Series X sales, hurt the brand. So it seems like they're taking it extremely seriously. They're trying to not mess this one up, because we've been saying if they mess this one up, I think PlayStation kind of has the upper hand for this generation going forward. But I think we're still in the race here, Pat. I think we're still in it.
I think so.
Cool. What else we got?
Dave, well, we burned through all of the PlayStation news this week. It was all saved up for that State of Play. Thanks for your impressions. Good cross-examination today, I'd say.
Oh, yeah.
An actual cross-examination. But, hey, still in highly relevant gaming news, there was a big Pokemon conference this last week, and we're getting remakes of the Sinnoh region Pokemon games. Gen 4, my favorite, Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl are coming out later this year. I believe they're dated for 2021. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be remakes in the chibi style. And then in even bigger news, we got the announcement of Pokemon Legends Arceus. And to my knowledge, this is the farthest back we have ever gone in the history of the Pokemon universe. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be really cool. It's set in like ancient Japan.
This is a game that's coming out?
Yeah, Pokemon Legends Arceus.
Ooh, okay,
cool. Open world on Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, I'm excited for both of those. Yeah, Diamond and Pearl were like the last games I got into, like really, really got into. Like I was in from Pokemon from the beginning, and then that was kind of like the last, those were the last two games until I kind of jumped off and didn't play Black and White or 1 and 2.
Okay.
And so forth until I got back to X and Y. And then I fell off again. I haven't played since X and Y. But yeah, I'm excited for those.
Same here. Cool. It's going to be like a 6-month debate of do I get Pearl again or do I try Diamond?
I don't know. We got 6 months to decide. I think I was a Pearl boy.
Same here. Palkia for the win.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Dave, that's going to do it for Fast Fire News this week.
Yeah.
Let's move it on to our rotating segment.
Cool.
I got a special treat for you today and our listeners. We got a new segment for our rotating segment. And today it lands on Pat's Legends of the Folly. Do you get the reference, Dave? You get it?
Sort of.
Legends of the Fall.
Legends of the Fall. No.
But that's a movie. Went over my head. But also get ready for this. I tried really hard for this. Pat's Legends of the Folly, PLF. Those are my initials, man.
Ooh.
Dang.
You're welcome for this one. No, but seriously, I got a good story for you guys. So it's not you guys and gals. So it's not really a video game story, but a cool moment in collecting and nerddom in general that I just wanted to share. So first off, let me preface the story that through this little endeavor, Dave, I figured out my lucky number. For a long time, I thought it was 32, but it's 36.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Now, let me get to it. So let's jump back all the way to, like, 2017, Dave. Young Patrick Fennell. Freshly out of college, still no hair on my chest, whatever. No, so I find this piece of news. I'm getting into crypto, and I find this piece of news that Dogecoin, the famous meme cryptocurrency, is doing some sort of tech integration with, I think it was Ethereum at the time, another cryptocurrency. So, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I want to just be able to say I've owned Dogecoin at some point. And I find this piece of news. I'm hopeful on it. Throw $100 into Dogecoin. Boom. 2 weeks later, $200. And at that time, I think Dogecoin was trading at half a cent. And that was the second highest it had ever been. It had only peaked out at 1 cent before that. So I get out. Get my $200, made $100, great. Fast forward, 2017 still, and one night, Dave, well, actually two nights in a row, I honestly got a little intoxicated, okay?
Ooh, oh, no.
A little alcohol, maybe a little too much alcohol, one might say. But I was functional enough to take my $200 in Dogecoin and converted it to Ethereum, blah, 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 blah. Anyways, two nights in a row, I end up spending a total of about $150 on CryptoKitties. Now, I'm not sure if you're familiar with CryptoKitties or our listeners
I'm
are.
I'm not.
But I'll break it down. CryptoKitties technically is the first video game ever integrated into any cryptocurrency blockchain. And it's super rudimentary. But you can get these cats. They have different traits. You can breed them with each other. Once you start breeding them, it's actually insanely complex. I was telling somebody else that CryptoKitties could be used to teach like 7th and 8th graders and even young high school kids like genetics and breeding. Like straight up, it's that.
Straight deep. Up.
So now I have CryptoKitties and about $50 of Ethereum or Dogecoin left. Well, fast forward to 2020. I'm sure a lot of you know how the price on crypto has multiplied many, many times over. So here I am sitting last week in February 2020, kind of 2021, kind of bummed that I have these crypto kitties and not a bunch of cryptocurrency. Well, fast forward, Dave, to about a week ago or so.
About a week ago. Shouts out to Bobby Shmurda. Just got out of prison.
Anyways. What up? Yeah, that's exciting, dude, actually. I'm excited to see where that young guy's career goes. Anyways. All right,
back to it.
So I have these, like, fairly worthless crypto kitties, but I get this email saying, hey, Pat, because you own crypto kitties, you can get a free card in the newly released NBA Top Shot thing. And so for people, just NBA Top Shot is basically the crypto, same as crypto kitties. It's integrated with the cryptocurrencies and is just digital basketball cards.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, because I own crypto kitties, I get this one free pack. Great. Sure, I'll sign up for NBA. So I sign up for NBA Top Shot, Dave. I get my free card. Blah, blah, blah. Now, if I had not bought crypto kitties, I'd be probably sitting around $1,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
But because I had bought crypto kitties, this absolutely close to absolute useless. I got this free NBA Top Shot card. And Dave, NBA Top Shot is going absolutely bonkers. They're not able to keep up with the demand right now.
Mm-hmm.
That free card I got is only out of 8,000. And I got number 3636.
Hmm.
Yes. But get ready for this. The price of that free card is floating around $500.
Hey.
And my total collection on the NBA Top Shot is about 10, is exactly 10 cards right now. I bought another pack last night for your yesterday. It took 2 hours to get through the queue. Cost me $9, but I'll have a total of like 15 cards. And I've spent precisely $49. And the value of my measly collection is well over 1,000.
Hey, that ain't bad.
So from Dogecoin to crypto kitties to digital baseball cards.
Oh, basketball, right?
But sorry, basketball. See, I'm not even in the right sport. I don't know what the heck's going on. But any of those three purchases, if you ask someone, hey, is this a good idea to buy? No, it's not.
No,
definitely not.
That's pretty awesome story, dude.
Yeah, I was...
A lot of it went over my head, but I'm happy for you.
It's okay. Yeah, I mean, it's sort of over my head. I mean, it's all like digital assets that I don't think anybody really understands yet.
Yeah.
But I was on cloud nine yesterday after.
Well, good stuff, man.
Yeah.
Hopefully you should buy some more crypto kitties with that money. So.
Hey.
Just kidding. Well, cool. Was that the end of your Legends of the Folly?
That's it. Let's do it.
All right. Well, that concludes the 29th episode, everyone. Yeah, that's it. We've been your hosts, David, SD Dog, and
PlayStation Pat Fennel.
Green versus Blue can be found on Spotify, Apple Music, or your favorite podcast streaming service. And you can directly support us by heading over to patreon.com/greenversusblue. That's patreon.com/greenvsblue if you'd like to support us even further. Again, you can find our individual socials directly at
Twitch, YouTube, Variety Pat, Instagram, PlayStation, Pat. Boop, boop, boop. Dave, what about you?
YouTube, gamertag, SD Dog. Hit me up. Let's do it.
Hey.
SDDAWG. That's how you spell me. And then remember, guys, next week also is our season finale, so don't want to miss that. It'll be a good one. And remember, if you're having if you're having burning symptoms, if you're having a burning question,
orifices.
Go see a doctor. Now, if you have a burning question or comment about today's show, if you have anything else to say about our podcast, please hit our direct line at psboxcast@gmail.com. And how do you spell that? That's psboxcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll catch you next week.
Bye-bye.